Karen, would you do a roll call, please?
Sheldon Blaine, first ward. Lucas Stansberry, second ward.
Here.
Bill Houston, third ward.
Present.
Jeff Leslie, fourth ward.
Here.
We have a quorum, Mayor.
Bill, would you do the invocation, please?
Sure. Heavenly Father, we've come to you, we come thank you for this day that you've given us, this beautiful weather, Father. Pray that you bless this town, you bless this country. Amid all the strife and problems, Father, just watch over us. Father, what we do and say today may be pleasing to you and good for the city. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
See what you got on there.
I just uploaded.
Do what?
Johanna O'Brien, I just uploaded some documents that Steve Ayer shared with us, and this meeting was called to talk about potentially opening up City Hall, the golf course, the league and tournament play, public forum, our council rooms in the park.
Did you say that? Okay. Okay. Okay, it's Mayor Pyle. The meeting's been open to discuss regulations and stuff that pertain to the golf course, the lobby, public places and stuff in the city, and we're open this for discussion at this time.
Steve Amyer, city attorney. So, late this morning, I got a call from our state administrator that we were having this meeting, and I put together a packet, and I sent it over to her. I was anticipating we'd discuss this next week, but anyway, it's in your Dropbox. Let's kind of start with where we're at. The governor does not have an order of any kind other than recommendations, and she has her recommendations say on June 22nd, that the state will essentially be opening up. That's a recommendation. If the county has an order in place, then we're obliged to abide by it. They met on Friday and did not oppose anything. They just wanted to follow the state recommendations. We've had lots of meetings and discussions with this with the leading municipalities. And so several cities have written in and said, we're just opening up. And the first response was, get ready to get sued. And so the reason for that is because of the low negligence standard that we have out there. And we're talking about protecting our employees. And so in Kansas, we have an obligation to protect our city employees. And it's a simple negligence standard. And it's likely that we may not have coverage for this. If we have coverage, we may get a defense only and a reservation of rights, which means they provide you a lawyer who defends the suit. But the council writes the check if somebody recovers in a case. I can tell you, I used to do insurance defense for years and years and years, and the threshold for proving somebody having a claim is low. It's more probably true than not true that they were injured as a result of our conduct. So it's fairly low. And so with regard to our employees, we have a duty. We have actually several duties. We have a duty not to expose them in their employment, but we can guard against that with reasonable care. We have a duty to warn them of hazardous conditions that we cannot guard against. We have a duty to provide a safe and suitable workplace. We have a duty to keep things in the workplace in good repair, and the employees should be able to go about their duties understanding we provide that kind of workspace. So with regard to employees, it's a fairly low threshold to prove liability on behalf of the city. And so when we're talking about that, there's one standard. When we're talking about the public, that's a much different standard. That's gross and wanton negligence. And so the league has the opinion, the chief counsel has the opinion, if you do nothing, that's gross and wanton negligence. And so we've got to do some things if we're going to open back up. Just because the governor and the legislature has decided to be into a little bit of a tizzy fit and fight against each other, and they're vetoing and suing and doing whatever, doesn't necessarily mean we can just ignore and throw caution to the wind and just resume things back like they were, because there's a very deadly virus that very few people contract and they die. And so we want to, especially those with compromised immunity systems, so we want to protect our employees against that. With regard to the public, gross and wanton negligence. So we need to take basic steps. And I've included in there steps for the public entering the building. And if we talked about these, they have to have their temperature taken. And so we need those electronic thermometers. They have to have a sign in. They have to fill out a COVID questionnaire, one person at a time. Cleaning after that person leaves. Somebody has to sanitize after they leave. A sanitizing station with hand wipes and hand sanitizers and some personal protective equipment for our employees. And so I understand we have some of those, but not all of those in place. And recently, and I see the city clerk nodding her head yes, I know we had some questions about masks. I understand the thermometers have not made it here. And so we're talking about the digital infrared thermometers where you can quickly have somebody pick it up, scan their own forehead, look at the results, wash their hands immediately, and then go to a sanitizing station and sanitize immediately. That's the protocol for the sheriff's department. When a deputy walks in, you immediately take your temperature, you sign in, you go to a sanitizing station, you do all these things. In this case, the suggestion is that we not only have them sign in, because that shows who was here, and if we have an outbreak, we can at least track it down, or CDC can track it down, and KDHE. They also fill out a questionnaire that says they haven't been sick. And if they have been sick or traveled to a quarantined area, for example, over the last holiday, several people went to the Lake of the Ozarks and they partied. And they've been observing social distancing. And guess what? COVID-19. They had it down there and people are getting sick from it, or at least contracting it. And so we don't want that to happen. So there's a number of things that we can do to protect our employees, and that's what I'm talking about. With regard to the public at large, the standard is much higher. It's gross and wanton negligence. So I understand they want to have league play and they just want to do it. And I understand people want to go. And so I think if we put some things in place with regard to that, I think we can probably meet our gross and wanton negligence standard. Some of these things that I'm talking. I'm suggesting we also implement some of these things before we allow league golf, if we're bound to do that, because I understand there was pounding on the desk and several people wanted to have league golf, and so, okay. We owe a less higher duty to them than we do to our employees. Our employees, though, we do owe a duty to, and I can tell you that with regard to municipal court, the order's been extended. We can keep it closed. The current order was to expire June 10th, and it's 150 days after that for statute of limitations and time deadlines and so on and so forth. I can also tell you that people who come to court, many of them, are not following any of these guidelines. And so there's a great concern about the people that are going to be coming through this door into your council room with COVID-19. And then you come to a meeting the next time, and perhaps it's here. And so you're going to have to put some protocols in place with regard to protecting yourselves in this room, because this is our courtroom as well, and this is where we'll have court, in addition to protecting our court clerk. And right now we don't have those in place because the door's open and people just walk in and they walk into City Hall. And so we'll have to address that as well. We've talked about in the past, for security reasons in years past, about closing off the hallway and doing those things. Maybe now's the time to consider doing that. I understood we have money in a small budget for that, and we have the money to do that, so we can protect our court clerk, and she has limited contact. Right now, if she were to talk to somebody, it's face-to-face. Unlike up front, where there's some shields, we don't have that back here. And so she has to open the door and have face-to-face contact with him. So we need to address that as well. And then sanitizing your courtroom and not letting 40 people in this courtroom, as Mayor Pyle saw that one time he came to court, they pack in here, and we will have them pack in here because we haven't had court for quite a while. So those things need to be addressed. If we have an orderly discussion about how we address those things, I think you're okay. But I think you've got to follow some protocols. If you throw it wide open, the league says get ready to get sued. And so that's their advice. That's what their advice is.
Okay, the only question I have, they're talking about, you know, if you open it up, you're liable for suit. What happens on June 22nd if they open it up?
Yeah, so that's the next question. There is no vaccine for it. And a plaintiff's lawyer, just because the state has said, gee, we're not going to impose anything more, Fred Spigarelli or one of the plaintiff's lawyers, the first thing they're going to go is, they could have done these simple seven things to protect these people, and they didn't do anything. And so give them, write my client a big check. And so my recommendation is, even though the state may, by June 22nd, decide to do something and say, well, it's over, it's not over, because I haven't seen a vaccine yet. I haven't seen any antibody research that says we have widely distributed something. And even though Kansas has low incident, our population level is now is low, all it takes is somebody traveling in from the outside area and potentially we have a problem. And I wouldn't want Girard, Kansas to be the hotspot starting with that. So my recommendation is, until we have something in place that we follow these protocols, it's a simple thing to do. Fill out some questionnaire, take their temperature, they sign in. Very simple thing to do, and we can just put it in place. I can tell you this, Pittsburgh's not opening their city hall. Maybe never. It's drive-thru. They're modifying their drive-thru, and nobody's going to go into city hall except the employees. So if that gives you any sense of maybe a larger population center and how they're handling it, they're simply not going to open. And so I just throw that out there that we have some options that are fairly simple to avoid liability for our employees that I think we at least need to follow until we have a better idea of the vaccine on this thing.
Okay, I got another question in reference to the golf course. How do we regulate that?
Yeah, so you would just have to have somebody out there who is assigned to make sure these protocols are in place. And I would assume that we've had some things like that so far, and it's for golf, and it's gone fairly well.
We're taking the walls with the golf course, aren't we? I mean, everybody's signing in, and we have the what are they called? We have the barriers are up at the golf course, and they have the hand sanitizing, and I know they're
I've had a request, a text from the chamber that we speak a little louder, that they can't hear very well.
Okay.
So simple things to put in place.
Public Works Director. So the thing with the golf course, as far as being able to, or who's going to police it, it's underneath my umbrella. If necessary, I'll go out there and sit and make sure that whatever the decision is today is upheld. My concern with it, in the beginning, we talked with the golf committee, and the concern was having a tournament play to begin with, and the chance of bringing in the virus from outside sources into Girard and strengthening the chance that we might have it within our city limits. We've been blessed so far. I think we've been very fortunate. I think there's probably a lot of media hype that goes along with the virus, but I also think that it's very real. And I've talked to some people directly that I know, people that we do business with, that have lost friends to it. And so I know that it's very real. My situation, what's turned this kind of sour for me, is with the golf committee, the decision was made to suspend tournament play and also to suspend league play. We discussed postponing it a little bit and having a discussion about it, maybe down the road and see how things progress with the virus. Already, as Mr. Angermeyer said, the thing with the Lake of the Ozarks for me is a very real thing because we have family that lives down there. And it took one guy who knew he wasn't actively, I don't know pretty good what the term they call that is, but where he's carrying it, but he's not sick with it. Asymptomatic is what he was. And then came out and moshed in the middle of that big crowd, and then they all went back out. So if you know anything about the Lake of the Ozarks, it's not just people that live at the Lake of the Ozarks. There's people from our area here that go that way. There's people from all over that travel to the lake and then go home. So potentially they take it and transmit it back out to their communities. We did what we did to err on the side of caution. That was exactly how it was put when the council, when the golf committee made the decision on it. That's the way we presented it to the council when we asked you to make a decision, either way, to make your decision on it. My concern is we have a group of people, and it's not the entire men's league, because I have directly spoken to some, and I've got a lot of direction from others of their feelings and their opinions about it. And there are some that want to follow the guidelines that the council set out, and they don't want to ruffle the feathers, or they want to play by the rules, and so be it. And then we have some that they choose to, they want to go ahead and pursue it. They want to call it a different name other than men's league, but they're still setting up teams. And so far, it's a group of about 63 men, 21 teams of three, from my understanding this morning. I am not trying to kill the league play by any shape of the word, but I am concerned about it. So whatever you guys decide to do, you'll do. I'll go with it either way. But if you decide to do league play, or if you decide not to do league play and you want to enforce it, if I need to, I'll go sit out there in my truck. One of the things that we discussed about having them do was if we were going to keep league play suspended and allow them to go ahead and go out and do this in an attempt to, you know, to do whatever they want to do, then what we would say is you need to tee off of box number one, every individual, and we can't close the court down, the course down for, you know, from other golfers. Even if you decide to pick it back up, my request would be that you at least ask the league to wait 2 weeks before they begin their league play, because there are people out there now in the community that think it's open to open play. And if they show up tonight and 63 men show up and tell them they can't play because it's a league night or whatever they want to call it, well, now you've offended those people. And so the decision's in your court. I just wanted to weigh in on it, at least tell you what my thoughts are. Makes no difference to me which way you go. I mean, I have my opinions about it, but I'll keep those to myself.
Mr. Mayor Pyle, one thing, how are you going to regulate it? If you tell them not to go and they insist and they try to go otherwise.
So, Steve Brooks, Public Works again. So, I mean, if you want to go to the steps of doing the temperature check so they can do it, we can do that. If you want to have it not open and you want me to regulate it, I will go sit out there. And when the 63 men show up, I'll tell them that they're going to tee off of box number one, and that's the way it's going to be. And I'll sit right there until they all play through. And what it'll end up being, I've talked to some guys that have played where they've had to, they've had big groups that have played together, 40 guys or better, and they tee off the same box, and you're talking about at least 6 to 8 hours of play. I mean, it's going to make a long night, but it's my job, and if that's the decision you make and you need somebody to regulate it, if it needs to be me that does it, I'll do it.
Jeff Wesley, Fourth Ward. So then basically the way to regulate or prevent that type of use, if we don't want it, is to just make sure there's no shotgun start. Everyone has to tee up a box one. And then if they want to play, the 63 people want to line up and play, starting at whatever time of day, just like any other individuals, and compare scores later, that's up to them. But for safety purposes and following our health requirements, you would avoid the shotgun starts.
Steve Brooks, Public Works, that's absolutely what I would do. In fact, when we had the discussion in the golf committee meeting to begin with over what we were going to do with tournament league play, my suggestion to the golf committee was that perhaps we already have one night that we call an overflow night. Perhaps we could just break the nights out and they could still have their league play, but just extend it out over periods of, you know, 4 or 5 nights so that everybody gets their chance to play. And then when the decision was made not to have league, what I had talked to one of my guys about that likes to play league and was upset about it, I told him that very thing. You know, if it's important to you guys to determine who's the best golfer in Girard and you want to have league play to do that, get together. You keep your scorecards. They go with you. You don't have to leave them with the clubhouse. You take them with you, and once a week you guys all get together somewhere on your own time, in your own terms. And you may, you know, and you compare your scorecards, and then if you're doing it, if you're having a league per se, then you can, you know, you can take those scores, and at the end of that time, you guys can it's basically the same thing, but you're following the guidelines that's set out by the city. And I think that's the important thing, is whatever the decision is that's made here today, just like the decision that was made in the past, I think it's, once it's made through the council, it should be considered law. And I think if people decide they want to violate that, then I think there should be consequences for that, up to and including suspension from play.
Sheldon Blank, First Ward. Steve, what liability do we have if something happens out of the golf course?
Well, that's Steve Angermeyer, city attorney. That's the standard we owe to the public. They're not employed, so that's the gross and wanton negligence. So we would need to take a minimum of steps that I eliminated to you, and it's in your packet, and including the temperature, the sign-in, the COVID questionnaire, one person at a time, social distancing, cleaning after the person leaves, sanitizing station, and any personal protective equipment they may need. We can at least recommend it. One thing I didn't state is, with regard to our parks, we probably need to have signs up. And Pittsburgh and Frontenac have done this, and I suggest we do it where we have signs. Okay, didn't realize that. Okay, because there's no way we're going to be able to sanitize that equipment, and we can't keep track of that. Just like the golf course, we can take the steps we need to. If they're going to play, they're going to play. If they're going to violate rules and they're not going to observe them, then it's their own risk. And we've at least shown a court of law that we've done something to try to protect the public.
Commissioner O'Brien, if we do open the park, we just need a sign that says we recommend you refrain from playing park, and if you do practice social distancing or whatever, what helps?
So, Steve Angermeyer, city attorney, the more you open, the more we're exposed. So, again, each time you open something else, it's yet one more opportunity for a plaintiff's lawyer to file suit against you and claim recovery if somebody's injured. And that's how we're looking at this. And that needs to be my focus, because I'm trying to keep you out of trouble, keep you out of hot water. And so that's where I'm looking. So if we open a park, then same thing applies.
Sheldon DeLang, First Ward again. Those things that you listed first about what we could do here at the city office to keep our employees safe, in reality, we should do the same thing at the golf course.
Yeah, Steve, I'm my city attorney. I agree. Yes.
And if we're going to play, let's do that. And then they're protected with. We don't know who else is going to come to that tournament. Steve
Rick-Sugmore. So, and that's the whole thing for me, honestly, is at the end of the day, my part of my job is to protect the assets that I'm charged with. And so that's what I'm trying to do. Whatever decision is made for golf play, I'm not trying to stop it. I like to golf just as much as anybody. I need to golf more because I'm a horrible golfer. But I can't get good partners like Bob to sit with me. So. But, you know, I'm not trying to stop the play. I'm just trying to stop the city from being put into any kind of position where something could happen. And it's a reality. I mean, it's happening in Oklahoma right now with a nursing home, because there are people that died, and now all of a sudden all these families are filing lawsuits against them. So it's a reality. I'm no lawyer, but I pay attention to the news, and that's the reason why I approached the golf committee on it in the beginning, was to determine what should we do, what do we need to do, what's the safe thing to do. And at that time it was, and I don't know how the opinion is now with the golf committee, but I know at that time it was, we should err on the side of caution and protect our community. And I think that's really what this is all about. For me, that's all it's about.
Mayor Pyle, okay, Steve, what I'm going to ask you, I'm going to give you a scenario. If you have, say, a dozen people don't want to comply with what you tell them, and they decide to do what they want, how are we going to handle that?
Steve, so I guess, you know, my deal, I'd call law. I mean, if we pass it in here, I assume that it's a law, correct? Bound? I mean, that would be my choice. That would be my decision. It's not anything I'd want to do. Actually, to be honest with you, one of the conversations I had with one of the individuals this morning, felt like if we sit down with a couple of them that are pretty much in charge of the league play and had discussion with them, that maybe they don't realize that what this is it was a decision by the council and it's basically binding. And perhaps maybe we just need to have that conversation. So I actually reached out to our city administrator this morning and was going to talk to her about that, and then found out this meeting was going to happen today. So I decided to wait until after this meeting happened, and then I would make that contact. But I'd be willing to at least call the individual, one of the individuals that's behind this. Maybe they don't, I'm not saying they're doing it with malice or anything in mind. I think it's just you know, the league play got canceled by the city, and we want to do this. So I thought I might try to reach out first and see if we could slow that down before it actually came to that point. If you're asking me if I'm nervous about standing in front of 12 men and telling them they can't do this, no, I'm not. I'll do my job because that's the job that you guys hired me to do. What I would do is tell them that I'm not stopping them from playing, that they're going to have to tee off a one, and they're going to have to play it like that. And then at the end of the day, if they can't all play today and be able to complete the rounds by the time the course would typically be closed, then maybe they could come back the next day and whatever it took to get those 21 teams through. I'm not trying to stop the play. I'm trying to keep the policy that you set in place. If you change the policy, so be it. I'm okay with that, too. It's on you guys, whatever you want to do.
Jeff left at Fourth Ward. So do we have thermometers out there that follow?
Mr. Hen O'Brien, we ordered them, and they never arrived. And we've ordered them from another place, and who knows if they're going to arrive. Karen's talked to different places about different equipment, and it's very hard to get right now the PPE.
And the recommendation is that we would have anyone that sign in to play at the course, we'd take their temperature before they were not on.
So the way it works, it's real simple. It's just sitting there on a table. You just grab it, shoot it at your forehead. There's a sanitizing station. You wash that. You wash off the thermometer. You hand it down. The next person steps up. So not a big deal. Very simple. That was Steve Angermeyer, city attorney, by the way, for the listeners.
Just lastly, Fourth Ward, we temperature every athlete that lifted weight this morning. Follow those protocols. So I'm going to go ahead. We're able to get them there. We're delivered.
Well, that's not what we ordered.
No.
There was you just scan the forehead.
Yeah, no, we no touch.
Lucas Stansbury, second ward. Oh, sorry, Jeff.
No, that's fine. They're probably infrared. I don't know what they are. I don't know. Point them at their forehead and it tells us their temperature.
That's infrared.
There you go. That's what we got.
Luke Stansbury, second ward. My input on it. I see it starting at the golf course, and if we start getting more public opinion to open up more facilities for the city, we're going to have a personnel issue as far as staffing. That's my concern. And also, if we do have some sort of problem, it's going to be tougher to not really change our course, but I feel like when the golf committee came to us the first time, they had discussed it in detail and length, and at that time I feel like that was the best decision at the time. I know we need to be adaptive and change, but I also know that it's harder to stop something once it's going, and that's my only concern, because I feel like I've got a lot of questions about the parks, and the pool was very touchy, and now I believe there's other places opening up the pool around our areas, maybe. I don't know if that's the case. Okay, so but my concern is as we go forward, and a lot of people are saying, well, it's not I feel like a lot of people think it's not a big deal anymore just because someone said that it took us 2 months to get here. Now it's like 2 days or a week, and we're already starting to change course. And that's my concern, is how quickly we're moving away from it. So I'm not saying we have to completely close everything, but I feel like we need to get the precautions in place first, get that equipment, and then approach the subject. Because it sounds like with league play, Steve, what you were talking about, you can still have some form or fashion with it, even doing open, like we're doing now, correct?
Correct.
So I feel like there's a happy medium we can get somewhere without having to say, let's do it automatically, let's bring everyone back in, and then we don't know what to expect. Because I know, like Lake of the Ozarks, I was just reading about that. Some people don't realize they have the virus, you know, and it's relatively, I think the reason why we haven't had cases in Carver County is because we've all been doing a really good job with the whole process. I know several businesses that they're still not back to work yet, or they still have people that are social distancing, and if they have temperatures or staying home or self-quarantined. That's my opinion, but I do feel like that a lot of the reason the count's so low is because we're doing a good job. And if we throw all that out the window, then we're back to square one. So I just feel like we need to think about it as a whole, because whenever we start looking at the golf course, then we'll have questions about the parks. When the park's going to open? Are we going to do the pool? Which I know, I feel like that's too far gone now. That's just a battle we can't fight. So like the pool, it's just closed. Golf course, we could make a change rather quickly on it because it's not as many, you know, it doesn't take as much time. But the parks, again, if we open the parks, we'll need personnel to clean it or at least do these, you know, at least do the steps that we've provided. We haven't talked about the civic center, you know, birthday parties that might happen there or uses. There's a lot of areas we have to worry about staffing, I believe. But maybe I could be wrong on that, but like the court even, we have possibility of having, you know, someone to stay here taking everybody's temperatures. It's just going to, I think, snowball pretty quickly.
Just like the fourth ward problem, the part two is egress and regress, right? With the golf course, you have the clubhouse, and that's where you enter the course, and you can tell them we're not going to shotgun start. With the carts, we need to, I agree with the recommendation of council 100%, we need to follow the recommendations here for anyone entering the property, or it sounds like a very liable situation. And I have a grandson and kids, and I wish they could go play at the park when they're at my house 2.5 blocks from the park. But we can't. How can we control who comes in from the other park? You're supposed to come in here, the park's closed. Yeah, good luck with that working when you can park literally on three sides of the one by the pool. So I think that's very problematic.
Steve Brooks again. I think one of the things, too, that needs to be said in regards to the whole thing, and it's come up on Facebook, and I get known, I'm not a fan of Facebook, but it is what it is. You know, it's come up on there that the golf course, you know, why does the golf course get to be open, even for open play, whenever we're doing parks closed and pools closed and a field, and it's been put point blank on Facebook, you know, that's unfair to the kids, it's unfair to the parents who want to bring their kids to the park. There are parents who are taking their kids to the park here regardless. But again, back to what that takes us right back to where we started. We put the signs up at the park. I feel like at least from a legal standpoint, and Mr. Angermeyer will probably correct me if I'm wrong, I'm sure, but at least from a legal standpoint, by it being signed, if someone chooses to go ahead and go outside of that box, well, at least the city's protected. And so from that standpoint, I don't care what we do. I mean, it's up to you guys. I'll stick with whatever. I'll enforce whatever. If you want to open it up to play, that's your business. And if the city hall opens, that's your business. I'll do whatever you guys want to do on my side.
Bill Houston, Third Ward. My only question is, through this entire process, how far down the road are we going to get before we may never be back to normal as normal was? But how far down the road is the city are we going to get before we start getting into line with the other communities or whatever? I'm not against erring on the side of caution. However, you know, we have a duty to protect the citizens of Girard. We also have a duty to facilitate their activities and what have you. So what I'm saying is, come the 22nd of June, if everything's lifted, I don't think this country will ever be, at least not in the foreseeable future, COVID-free. I think it's until, like City Attorney said, until we have a vaccine. But I don't think we'll ever be free of this in this country. So I'm just curious how far down the road we're going to get before we start seeing some signs of normal. And I think the point that you made about people being not liking the pool closed and the parks closed, perhaps, and this is not very popular, if you were going to do that, maybe we should have kept the golf course closed to play also, and then we wouldn't be lined up with this situation of, well, we're going to play here regardless of what you tell us. And then, I hate putting you on the front line out there telling the 63 men, no, you're not going to play golf, because I'll tell you what, I can't run that fast, and I'm not that tough. So, you know, some of those guys are, you know, that kind of situation, what I'm saying is, can get a little testy, and it can do it, as we've seen in the streets of America, it can do it pretty fast. So, you know, I guess I'd
I'd ask, where are we going to get to down the road? The 22nd, or are we going to say, okay, we can play golf and the parks will be open? Or, you know, I'm just concerned about how far down the road we're going to be before we...
Steve Angermeyer, City Attorney, I think it's probably irresponsible just to assume that the 22nd is a magic date, that suddenly COVID is cured and we have no more liability or responsibility. I think the plaintiff's lawyer would be licking their chops if we had somebody get sick because of that and we just dropped everything. So I don't think that's the approach you probably want to take, even though our politicians, it's become a political football at this point, and they've passed it back and forth. Just because they have doesn't necessarily mean we abandon all common sense and throw caution to the wind and just open it back up. I think we continue to evaluate it. I understand that they have moved towards a vaccine. There are several companies that have done that. And so, you know, we when this thing first happened, we were evaluating this on an hour-by-hour basis. We're not there now, but I think we continue to evaluate, and we can always discuss this in a meeting and see where we're at. If we make strides, or if we see that the strains have gone down, or we believe that somehow there's a vaccine, or we've self-inoculated, or whatever the data shows, I think we can evaluate that and determine where we're at. If we just magically say on the 22nd or today, we're throwing it open, I think we expose ourselves from a liability standpoint.
Another, Johanna O'Brien, another issue we probably need to discuss with the extension of the ad astra, it's just recommendations now, utility disconnect. We weren't able to shut anyone off, and that requirement has been missing. So we have some customers that have Xiaomi.
Well, off the top of my head, I'd say there's probably between 20 and 25.
That's Karen Buck. She said between 20 and 25 customer accounts. So what we need to decide is, are we still not shutting them off, or are we putting on a pace plan, or are we going back to normal?
Lucas Stansbury, Second Ward. At the, I know the state level is what we're talking about, but at the, I guess at the federal level, does that, Steve, will that matter, Angermeyer? Because I know a lot of that has to do with, as a whole, our country having trouble, like unemployment, just people getting laid off. So is that something where we're going to have any type of, I mean, I know there's no magic date, but how's that, I guess, that work? Because most people, if they can, at the time that they're employed and they can still make ends meet, then we'd expect to keep that, and we expect to go back to normal on processing everything, and just not to get behind. Because I feel like if we don't allow it for a while, we'll have people get in a bigger hole than if they actually can do it now.
Steve Angermeyer, City Attorney. So we have several things here that have occurred to me. First of all, the federal government really has not imposed on the states any guidelines. They have done a pretty good job of keeping hands off and letting states handle it themselves. And now the states are letting the counties handle it themselves, and now the county can let the cities handle it themselves. So that's what we're here about. So I think we have a lot of ability under our home rule power to employ a lot of things. With regard to your shutoffs, you know, I know a lot of cities are not disconnecting. They're calling their residents and saying, here's what we're going to do. You've given such and so time. We can put you on a payment plan. If you don't want to do that, then we're looking at probably possibly disconnecting you. And so we could have some kind of program along those lines where, if you want to, where we impose, based on a COVID-19, I think you'd have to set a fairly significant date, and, you know, when the COVID-19 thing happened, and not let new customers or recent customers who have become lax or behind in their payments to take advantage of this. But the folks who were during the COVID, you could have a policy, and I think you could easily do that, where you could let them make a payment plan if the council has decided to do that. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Running out and just pulling the plug and shutting them off, that's not going to be very popular.
Johanna O'Brien, Karen, what do you think about that, taking the accounts that are currently past due and just offering them a payment plan?
I don't care, but I don't have a problem with that. The problem I have is we sent out letters about a week and a half ago from Salvation Army that monies were available due to COVID-19. They were sent out to all the customers who had not made any payments during COVID-19. And last I knew, we had two that took up on it. So I personally feel like you have to make an effort, and once you make an effort, I feel like we as a city can also make an effort.
I have reminded those two accounts that called that they get their balances paid by Salvation Army.
One got their rent paid, one got a utility bill paid. So
the whole utility bill?
The pass-through. Any pass-through amount was paid.
You had a write-in person, we say, that 20 or 25, and we send them another letter that tells them about the Salvation Army money again, and say you have till the end of the month before sending the June or whatever, or till July, whenever we do shut off.
Of course, Steve Engelmeyer, city attorney, or you could send them a letter that said the city council considered this issue, and here's what they decided. And you have until such and so to pay your bills. You've been given a resource by the Salvation Army, or you can enter into a payment plan or whatever you decide. If we don't hear from you by this date, then buyer beware. It's going to something to happen.
Okay, it's Mayor Pyle. I understand, and I know there's several organizations out there that help with utility bills. And it seems to me like the people aren't going to these sources for help. There are some that immediately when the governor said you can't shut off for lack of payment, they quit paying completely. I think the Salvation Army, part of their criteria is it's related to your job on whether you got laid off or something to that effect. And, you know, I can't say for sure, but I think there's probably some of them just take advantage of it. And there are organizations out there that do help. There's LEAP and Wesley House, Salvation Army, and numerous others that will help with utility bills. I don't know what their policies are on and stuff. They just have to check them to do it. But that's part of the thing they need to do is they need to go forward and contact these agencies. It's not done by the city.
Hey, O'Brien, again, the next year off would have been June 15th, correct? June 15th.
Right. For people that were on that or on extension.
Mr. Mayor, Jeff Lussey, 4th Ward. I move we adopt the payment plan at the discretion of the city manager and city clerk, and that in this communication they reiterate the availability, known availability of charitable agencies to help with those. I would request that the city manager and the city clerk have a recommendation on what those guidelines are going to be by our next scheduled meeting a week from today.
Second the motion. Sheldon DeLange, 1st Ward.
Sheldon DeLange?
Aye.
Lucas Stansberry?
Aye.
Bill Houston?
Aye.
Jeff Lussey?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Mr. Mayor, Jeff Lussey, 4th Ward. I recommend, or question for Steve Engelmeyer. Do we need a motion for the pool to stay closed, or do we need to just not touch on that subject and move on to the next item?
Steve Engelmeyer, city attorney, you've already closed the city pool in a prior meeting, so unless you're going to do something different, I think that action stands by the council.
Understood and appreciated. Thank you.
Mr. Luke Stansbury, 2nd Ward. Mr. Mayor, I would like to bring up for discussion quickly. Is this something where, Johanna, we should think about a policy for a future, not pandemic, but if we have to do emergency non-disconnects for a certain amount of time, that we can make it need-based or have a set amount or a set amount of time?
But Steve Engelmeyer, city attorney, the unique thing about this, frankly, once in a lifetime event, was that there were executive orders issued by the state authorities not allowing us to turn off the electricity or the utilities of these people. We can certainly change our ordinance. There are ordinances we have in place, and if you want us to bring those to you about what our shutoff policy is, you know, we don't have a cold weather policy because we're not bound by that.
Yes.
As a small town.
So, hey, O'Brien, we have options for people that can't pay their bills. Like Steve said, this was unique because the governor overrode all of that and said, despite all that, you can't turn them off.
Okay.
So now we're just, since they were suddenly rescinded, not come out of them slowly like we thought was going to happen, now we're just left, do we turn them all off right now, or do we go ahead and try to give them a chance because that's what everybody expected? So that's probably the part we need to pass before. And the councilman already made a motion for us to bring a recommendation for that. And I think, I'm pretty sure Karen will have ideas on how. She probably already knows how she wants to do it, so there'll be a recommendation on Monday.
I appreciate that. Mr. Mayor, regarding city offices, once again, question for Council Angermeyer. Our city offices are closed, and we're using the drive-through at this time, which to me appears to be prudent protection for employees. Our biggest concern, our closure right now, is city court operations.
Steve Angermeyer, city attorney, yes. I can tell you that another small town here is going to do their court through a window outside. And so there'll be no contact, and frankly, the court, the judge, the attorneys will talk to the person through the window, standing outside on the sidewalk. If we have inclement weather, then they're allowed inside the building. They can't go past a certain point. There's barriers, and this information that I provided to you will be done on a one-by-one basis. And they'll hold court standing right there in the foyer and then turn around and walk right back out, and the next person will come in. And so we've talked a little bit about what that would look like here, and we didn't discuss letting one person in at a time, having a barrier, and then making them either turn around and go back out, or they have to walk through and go out the front door, and then we let them, so there's no contact.
And ingress and egress if you're on the barrier.
We just keep them. One of the things that long term we need to do, and I know we've talked about this informally a few times, and perhaps in this council too, about sealing off this back door and making a barrier for our clerk who's not protected should we have some kind of active shooter situation. Perhaps now that we've had this is the time to do that. I know we've discussed several options to do that, and I just bring that back up again because that's still a concern for me. And I think it's still a concern for our city staff as well. They can just walk right in this back door, and they have access to our offices.
So, Hannah O'Brien, since we didn't have Mark Fort coming up, that was something I was going to put on the agenda for Monday.
Chuck Lester, fourth ward. That was my question. And is there an individual, as we have tasked our city manager and city clerk with coming up recommendations to vote upon or discuss and vote upon on Monday, is there an individual entity, Director of Public Works, yourself, a combination of those, could come up with a recommendation by a week from today to vote on for safety and security for the city court, municipal court?
Yeah, sure. Steve Angermeyer, city attorney. Sure. Yeah, we
can. That would be. I would appreciate that. And in keeping with that, as with the pool, if we don't want to do anything in the interim, which we shouldn't, it appears to me, because we don't have thermometers, we don't really need to take action today. We simply leave that is and reassess it a week from today at the regular meeting.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, Steve Angermeyer, city attorney. The council, under their home rule powers, has a tremendous amount of power, and you can reassess anything that you've decided at any time. And so right now, your pool is closed and your parks are closed. If you want to take that up next Monday or a month from now or 6 months from now, I think you can do that. And I think you have to have more data. Right now, all we know is our legislature and our governor got deadlocked. Everything was dropped instantly. We thought we had a local county order. They dropped their order because they thought, now we got nothing. And so from a liability standpoint, I went, uh-oh. Trouble because we're not protected and the virus is still out there. It isn't on some artificial deadline of June 22nd or whatever. And so those things concern me greatly, and I just want to protect our employees and our city.
Sheldon Glang, First Ward. If we leave the city offices like it is right now, for now, till something else changes, you get the equipment you need. Can't we do that? We need to deal with the golf course out there.
Absolutely. Steve Anker, absolutely. As I understand it, we've been adequately servicing our clientele, our customers through the drive-through, and I think that's working fine. They've gotten used to it, and it's been fine. If you need to have special access to the building, I think you can probably follow these. If you had to have a meeting or something, you follow these steps and let the person in and that kind of thing. In a meeting room, you sanitize before and after you do those things. But as far as having the public in and out as large, I think you can keep it closed and just allow the drive-through. I think that's a good solution until we know more information on a possible vaccine or some more information.
So, Hannah O'Brien, what I'm hearing is that we're going to stay exactly the same as we are, follow the ad astra recommendations, and then bring you guys some new recommendations on Monday for utility disconnects.
Yes.
And that we can discuss it further then. And Karen gave me a note that says fireworks suggested, and I have no idea what she's talking about.
Celebrate Girard is going to... they're in the process of scheduling the fireworks, And they want to know if the council has any recommendations. Should it be in-car only? Should there be any? they want your recommendations on the fireworks.
Tell them to get the health department's recommendation.
Today, I'm our city attorney. I can tell you Pittsburgh is not having our fireworks display this year.
Jeff Lefty, fourth ward. Mr. Mayor, I would ask that we continue the other items and then move to fireworks. It seems to me we've discussed pool, city office, city court, and utility cutoff. Personally, because of a lack of mental capacity and balancing balls, juggling balls in the air, could we consider discussing any kind of action or no action on parks and golf courses and then move on to the other subject? Would that make sense?
Yeah, we could. I'm good now.
I don't think we've made any kind of a decision though on or given direction to league play to Mr. Brooks, and then if we want to revisit the idea of parks, what the consensus is. So I personally, going down my list, we need to at the very least discuss the golf course and give him some guidance, and then possibly parks, what our thinking of it is. Although on the parks, I would dearly love to see those open. I don't know how we could control in and out and utilize these protocols unless we fence it and control entry and exit.
So, yeah, Brian, from what I understand from CBA is that the signs that we have up now that say the parks are closed protect us liability-wise, and the people that are choosing to go there anyway are going to do it.
If you, Steve, I'm our city attorney, if you wanted a belt and suspenders approach, you could put a fence around it and allow no entry, obviously. Anything you do in a step, this is not an exact science, as you well know, who knows what a jury's going to do, but anything you do to demonstrate that you're not allowing people in those premises is a good thing.
I understand. I was just talking about the potential. I don't know how we would logically move forward with opening it until we could do some protocol for protection. So I do know the sign on the west side of the city park, because I go around with my grandson over the weekend, it's starting to kind of grow over, and it looks like one of those commercials on TV. So the signs, if that's the consensus to leave it as is, they probably need to be examined to make sure they're clear and easily legible. With that being said, does anyone else want to make a motion on the golf course?
Bill Houston, third ward. There's some of those items on there that we can deal with next Monday. Right now, I think we need
golf
to look
course.
At that golf course.
I think the main thing
that we need to do right now. There's other issues, you know, like fireworks and stuff we could deal with
Monday.
At our next council meeting. Just put them on the agenda. And
agree totally.
Yeah, Steve Ainger, our city attorney. I think we have, with regard to city court, because it's getting backlogged a bit, I think we've been talking about a plan, and frankly, I've discussed it with our chief. And so you heard a little bit of it, but basically one person at a time. We just need the equipment. The equipment just hadn't gotten here. And so we got to have that equipment, and I hope it's going to get here. So if we get that, I think we can probably make this workable, and we can start having city court again.
That's okay. Call for it.
Lucas Stansbury, second ward. We got 7 days till the next meeting. I feel like we need to leave Steve some time to discuss with the golf committee, the individuals that want to do league play, so we can figure out exactly what it's going to entail. Because in my mind, if we have 23 teams, I don't even know how long that would take. If they're not doing shotgun to go one at a time.
8 hours.
Yeah, so I mean, I don't know if a lot of people understand this could be a very labor-intensive love, for lack of a better word. So I feel like we need to table everything until a regular meeting and just come prepared that night with a lot of ideas and expectations to answer those questions and some more information.
General O'Brien, the CB said you know who the person is. Started this and try to call
them? Steve Brooks. I know a couple of the individuals that I believe
okay.
They're the ones that kind of take care of the league, and I can't see any. But anyway, I can reach out to them and have discussion with them. I guess ultimately that was how I felt this whole thing could have been handled in the first place was, you know, to reach out to the city and say, hey, you know, this is what we want to do. Is there some way that we can do this still and facilitate it? At which point I would have made the same suggestions that I made to the committee, but I would not have done that without finding out how the council felt about it as you all passed the recommendation.
Johanna O'Brien, Steve Nolan contacted you?
No. I heard about it through the grapevine. It's been very, pretty much very behind the scenes, I think, would be a fair way to put it.
We don't need a motion even then, just
no,
whole course, the course remains as it is, no shotgun starts. That's great. Can we post this update or continuation of rules on the city website this afternoon? A reiteration of
Johanna O'Brien, what would you suggest? Are you just saying we're following the previous ad asterisk guidelines set out by the governor?
Well, the Steve Ingram, city attorney, the council made a decision on what to do with the golf course at a meeting.
Yeah.
And so I think you can just post on the website, it stays as it is until you decide to, and you're talking, and secondly, because you've already decided it, and secondly, on Monday, you're going to address it again and perhaps have a plan for doing some kind of tournament play. That would be my suggestion.
Luke Stanford, Second Ward. And to echo Jeff, I think I know what he's saying. There's a lot of unknowns where individuals don't know exactly where the city begins and where the citizens begin. And I feel like, or the state or county, because we know the state and county, they're both rescinded. So really, in reality, you can do whatever you want. I think Gerard, the city Gerard and the council, we want people to practice common sense. We want everyone to, if you're sick, stay home. If you have to do these things, we're making it where we're limiting our exposure for the city. But we also know that there's facilities, like Jeff is saying, that we have to either allow to be used or not allowed to be used. And that's the decision we have to make next Monday. But until then, yeah, your businesses are open and they have their own rules. So I saw that Andrew posted on Eastside Cafe. He had a very nice post on Facebook about this is what we're doing. This is how we feel. Please don't make a scene because you don't want to wear a mask, because this is how we do it. That's what we're trying to figure out too at the city, how we want to do it, and then we'll try to do it the best way to make everyone, to let everyone still enjoy the facilities, but also protect people that might be high risk.
Yeah.
So I think that's the real thing, Jeff, is the citizens, they can still, I'm assuming they can still do what they want within common sense, but you can't really, you're not tied down, I guess. We're not doing, what's that word I'm looking for? Like there is no order right now, correct, Steve?
Yeah, Steve Ingram, there's no stay-at-home order, and so people are free to move about freely. That doesn't necessarily mean we don't take precautions as a city in Girard. We protect our city hall, we protect our employees, we protect our golf employees, we protect our public works employees, and those kinds of things. So that's kind of what this meeting is about, is protecting our employees, and then using some common sense and not doing gross and wanton things to hurt the public. I think those are the two things we have to be concerned about.
Isn't the mask still a thing that the federal government's recommending that we wear out in the public, even in Kansas or anywhere?
Yes, that's right.
Yeah,
plus the fourth one. My concern is just that we have it communicated clearly through the website, one-stop shopping. People go in their home. Parks are closed. Parks are open. In this case, they're closed. We're going to leave closed. We can discuss it on Monday. Golf course. It's as was, as is. It remains. There's no shotgun starts. There's no organized official league play. So just bullet points on those items that we discussed today. I think it'll be effective communication and helpful to everyone. And then individuals can't claim ignorance of what the rules are, and we can defend our decisions, and the decisions are out there for folks to see. That was my main point with the communication aspect.
Mr. Mayor, if there's no other discussion today, I move to adjourn.
Jeff Lusty, fourth ward, second.
Sheldon DeLange, first ward.
Luke Stansbury.
Aye.
Sheldon.
Aye.
Bill Houston.
Aye.
Jeff Leslie.
Aye.
We're adjourned.